Ephesians chapter 6, we have been studying the family throughout the month of February, and I hope that things that we've said and studied and looked at it from God's Word have been very helpful to you as a husband, as a wife, and that's really been the emphasis thus far. Today we move to the children, and I want to make sure I give sufficient time to get across what I believe the Lord has directed my heart to on this subject matter. There's many philosophies in our world today that teach us how we're supposed to deal with our children. But I have discovered as a believer in Christ that the only completely dependable way to deal with anything in life as a believer is to do it the way God said. Can I get an amen there? That's it. That was terrible. We got to do that again. Can I get an amen there? You got to do it like God said or you're going to get in trouble. Always. There's no question. There's no question that that's true. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if we don't get a hold of that as Christians, then we are setting ourselves up for failure. We have to get that in our hearts, in our minds, as the truth. Because I believe that wholeheartedly to be true, then it's so important when it comes to children that we approach child rearing with that same philosophy in life. God knows what's best. I need to find out what he said and do it. Now, we could just say amen and go home, but the problem is, often, we don't know what God said about children, so thus we don't know how to deal with children. I encourage you, if you read and do blogging and reading on the internet and stuff like that, I encourage you to go to our church's website. We have a place on there. We have a blog area on our website. And I try to make myself once a week publish a new something that I'm writing about. And I've written some about children recently and parenting. And I encourage you to go and read those things. Not because I'm smart, because somebody else was smarter than me, taught me, obviously. There's nothing new under the sun, and that's true. But yet, get you to start thinking about, how should I deal with these things with my kids? Good stuff. I encourage you to check it out. If you have a computer and you do internet or whatever, I encourage you to go and read those things. But in Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to begin today. And I want you to listen like you've never listened to before to these verses. We probably have them memorized, many of us. But listen to what they say. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 1, it says this. Children, who's he talking to? Y'all are sharp as thumbtacks. Y'all got it. Listen to this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God says this is the right thing to do. Watch for those statements in the Bible. They're important. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? It says in verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Quickly, if you live in the home with your parents right now, say amen. I knew nobody was going to say anything. I knew you were. If you do, listen to this. I'm going to give you your sermon in like 2 minutes, and the rest of the time is going to spend on the parents. If you agree with that, say amen. Okay, yeah, so hang with me here. Real quick. Ephesians 6 tells us, really, it sums up for us what God intends for the children in like 3 verses, and the whole rest of the Bible is to the parents, and that's just the case, you know, with the kids. So God made it simple for you so that you would know how to do what you are to do. So here's what God says to children. First of all, you're given a command. There's actually 2 parts to it, child. And now you don't want to, obviously the children's church is across the way. I'm talking to teenagers or above that age. And you don't want to consider yourself a child. But for this situation, understand the word children is used for the purpose of expressing, hey, you still live under the authority of your parents. And let me define that a little further in case you were wondering, teenager. That means you still eat my food. And all the parents said, okay, if you eat my food, this is what God says to you. It's in 2 parts. First, he says, obey your parents. Obedience, my kids know this very well, can be summed up in 3 statements. Obedience is immediately, completely, and sweetly. And anything other than that is disobedience. So I did it when you said, I did it exactly how you said. I completely did it, not half-hearted, not halfway. And then sweetly, I did it without a bad attitude. And all the parents said, see, the parents are all over this, guys. Y'all hang in there with us. So it says to obey your parents, do what they tell you, within the realms of right. And then secondly, it says to honor them. That word means that you are to show them great respect as you obey them. So important. So important. So teenager, God gives you two things that you have to do, and here's what they are. Number one, you obey them. Number two, you honor them. Now, that's pretty simple, but yet that's so difficult sometimes. Because parents just do some crazy things sometimes, right? And they're crazy sometimes. They're like, man, what's wrong with them? Where'd they come from? I tell you, they came from the same gene pool you came from. And what they're doing crazy, you're going to be doing crazy one day, just so you know. But it says honor and then to respect is the word I like to use to completely grab a hold of what the meaning is. Your parents, that's your responsibility. Then the Bible says that this is the first commandment with promise, which means for the teens or young people here today, that means that this is the commandment that God gave. He says to honor and to obey them, and then there is a promise associated with it. There's a consequence, if you would, or a result that happens in your life when you obey them. He says, first of all, you will have a better quality of life. Now, nobody wants to live a horrible life and have a bad life. And let me put it in these terms. Nobody wants to go through life suffering consequences for bad decisions. Right? Nobody does. And God promises here, and please listen, young folks. I told you most of it's for your parents, but I'm talking to you for just a moment. Nobody wants to live a life where you suffer on a daily basis the consequences of bad decisions. So God says here, if you will learn to honor and respect your parents, the result of that will be you will have a life of blessing instead of one of consequences or curse. Promise. Better quality of life. Then secondly, God says that it may be well with thee, or that it may go well with you, and then that you may live long upon the earth. Then there is quantity of life. Both of them are promised here. Now, that don't mean, guys, if you obey your parents as a teenager that, you know, you're going to live to be 104 years old. That's not what that's talking about. But the general idea is that as you learn to obey, as you pull yourself under their authority and you obey and you respect them, the result of that in your life is you're going to enjoy life much more because you're going to have a life of blessing. And then secondly, your life will be prolonged because you won't face God's judgment. That's the promise here. And as a young person, your responsibility is to do everything within you as you learn from God and God teaches you and grows you as a Christian. And by the way, if you're a young person who's not a believer in Christ, then you need to come to Christ first and then begin to try to embrace what he says here, because these promises only apply to his children. But if you know Christ as a young person, your responsibility truly is to commit yourself to obeying God in every area, and specifically in this area, because these verses are written to you. That's all I got to say for y'all. Y'all can go out and go get some coffee. Just kidding. You can't leave. You need to hear what your parents' responsibility is. Now, in saying all of that, I want to go to the bigger picture here. You see, this is definitely written to the children, and I'm using that word again because that encompasses all ages up to the day that they leave and go out and have their own family. It is written to all children, but here's the reality. The parent has to discover the responsibility that he or she has in relation to this command that is directed to their child. Now, here's a couple things to think about. First of all, your kids are not going to just naturally do what you command them to do in this life. Anybody figured it out yet? Raise your hand if you figured it out. They're going to disobey, right? Right? They're going to. The kids are not going to naturally do what you say. So every time you deal with something with them as a parent, you're going to have to learn how to get them to come to the place where they understand what these verses are teaching us. Now, I'm going to pause there. Everybody say pause. Now, we got to go for a commercial break real quick because we need some Philosophy 101. If you think you need some Philosophy 101, say amen. You may not know you do, but you do. So I'm going to put that page down, and we're going over here to my philosophy page for a moment. So bear with me if you would. What do I mean by philosophy? There's a few things that every Christian parent has to get a hold of before they can effectively parent like God wants them to. Now, you're saying, Pastor, I don't want to hear all this philosophical stuff. I'm going to take a nap. Please don't do that, especially if you have kids right now, meaning my definition of kids was children. They live under my roof. They eat my groceries. They're my child. Okay, that's who a kid is. That's a child. That's who we're talking about. You need some philosophy before you ever embark on this journey of trying to train these kids. A couple of things philosophically that you need to understand. First of all, children are from God, and children are, the Bible uses the word, the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward, not the fruit of the loom, okay? Because I almost always, when I read that, say fruit of the loom, and that would be horrible in church to say fruit of the loom. The fruit of the womb is his reward. The word heritage there is translated by other translators as our gift from God. Children are from God, and they're his gift to us, Psalm 127:3. We got to realize that. God gave us children. God gave them to us. Say that with me. God gave them to us. Say it one more time. God gave them to us, number one. Number two here in philosophy, children are given by God into the parents' care, okay? Get this. Into the parents' care. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, it gives a directive there to parents, and the directive simply says this, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. He's speaking of there the responsibility that a parent has to make sure that that parent teaches that child, ultimately, if I can just paraphrase it all, teach that child about who God is and what part God should have in his or her life. That's the parent's responsibility. Now, I'm going to chase a rabbit for just a moment here. We have come up in a society now where we've come to the place that we think that's somebody else's job. You better be careful. That is not the job of a pastor. That's not the job of the Sunday school teacher. Can I get amen? I got to keep you all awake. It's not the job of the school system, no matter what school you go to. It's not the job of grandma or grandpa. That job falls upon the parents. It's your job. And you have to make certain that you realize that. Because if you miss that, you're going to miss it all. Because as long as you think my kid's going to learn about God from Sunday school, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because Deuteronomy 6 makes it clear the parent is to daily, in everything they do, they are to daily have the goal and heart and mind of revealing who God is to my child and every opportunity I get. And that means it'll be crazy things sometimes. Like, how many of y'all ever see somebody do something completely stupid? Just raise your hand. Just be honest. How many of y'all live with it? No, I'm just, don't say that. You take those opportunities and you say, hey, Timothy, who Timothy's not going to be good with money if we don't help him here. You know, I can already see, I told y'all a while back about his snack shop dealings, you know. He's not going to be good with money. So when I see something dumb in relation to money, I say, Timothy, listen to this, man. Did you see what that person just did? Tell me why that was dumb. And he'll tell me. Why is that a problem, Timothy? Here's what God says about whatever the area is in our lives. We're to teach them. And that's the parents' responsibility. So first, they are given to us by God. He gave us the children. And some he gives a bunch of them. Some he only gives one or two. But he gives them to us. Secondly, it's our responsibility to raise them. It's the parents' responsibility to raise them. We're in Philosophy 101 now. If you're still awake, say, I'm awake. Because say you thought philosophy was boring, and it's awesome, isn't it? It's the parent's responsibility to raise a child. I want to read you a couple of things just so you're aware. I think sometimes as the church, we are ignorant of what's going on in the world around us, and the result of that is often catastrophic. So listen to this. What does the world say about, specifically, what does the American mindset, our social mindset, say about what I just said? Parents are responsible for raising their children. Listen to this. I'm going to start with Adolf Hitler, that bad guy. You know who he is. He's the bad guy. Here's what he said. Give me the youth of a nation, and I will rule the nation in 7 years. The idea here of government rule over children was something that Hitler promoted and expanded during the time of his rule. He knew that if he could effectively be the hand that molded the child, he could make the child into what he wanted it to be. And as the child became his clone in his thinking and philosophy, then his society became the same. Did you get all that? I'm hurrying if you don't notice. Because I got so much to say today. And I know some of you won't come back next week and you'll miss it. So hang with me. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. Adolf Hitler. Listen to this. Hitler was not the only person who pushed such a thought or an agenda, because in Greensboro, North Carolina, just a while back, A politician said this on the campaign trail. It is not between Democrat or Republican. It's about who will have the power to shape our children for the next 4 years of their lives. God, let me read on some more, because that's not the only person that's had that idea. I will say this person's name. Another instance where the same idea was presented comes from a lady or a woman by the name of Melissa Harris Perry, who is a very popular, I believe, talk show host personality at this time. And here's what she says. We have to break through our private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families. She said that kids belong to whole communities instead. Here's something came from a group recently called Black Lives Matter, and here's what they say about the nuclear family. They said, we have vowed to destroy the nuclear family and replace it with communitarian-style collective parenting. We are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages, that's a key word for them, villages that collectively care for one another and especially our children. What do they mean when I read you those quotes? What are they saying? They're ultimately saying that we want to, and by the way, these people are on the side of government control of children. Here's what they want to do. They want government to raise children. Now, how many of y'all, let's be honest for a moment. At some point in time, probably in every day at some point in time, you feel like you wish somebody would come get them and take you. Just be honest. You can raise your hand. Yeah, that's all right. I feel that way sometimes. I'm like, somebody please come get them, you know. But the reality is, for the Christian, you have to realize that that's your responsibility. You have to do it. You can't depend on another to do it. You can't depend on the state, a daycare, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher. You can't depend on somebody else to do what God said is your responsibility. If you got that, say amen. Now, philosophy 101. First, children are from God. Secondly, they're a gift given to the parents. Thirdly, children are perfectly made by God, but are flawed by their inherent sin nature. Now, that's hard to say, Mr. Steve, when you've just been looking at a beautiful little new granddaughter. I know. I understand that. Children are perfectly made by God, but are flawed by their inherent sin nature. Children are sinners from conception. The Bible clearly says that. And that's who they are. That's what they are. And unless they come to the grace of God, that's what they will be. Now, that's a hard statement, because a lot of people in our world today do not like that idea at all. But that's what the Scriptures teach us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Who's that one man? Tell me. Adam, sin into the world, and death by sin, the consequence of sin, and death, then that consequence, passed upon all men, for all have sinned, or all have become sinners. They're all sinners now because of Adam. We can thank him for that. We all are sinners, and that means that verse tells us or teaches us that even our children are sinners. Thus, you're not dealing with an individual who is inherently good, but an individual who is fallen with a sin nature. Your child is a fallen being, fallen, by the way, I mean by that, a sinful being, in need of redemption, instead of a basically good being in need of instruction. A fallen being in need of redemption, instead of a good being in need of instruction. Now, I know I need to go on, but I got to talk about that for a second. Because the philosophy that is present in our day that's being pushed all around us is that people are inherently good. That's what they say. And here's the deal. That philosophy goes deep, because if I accept that as true, then as I deal with my children, I'm going to have to deal with them as inherently good instead of inherently sinful. And those are two completely different things. Here's a couple of names for you might be familiar with if you've been in philosophy classes. a man by the name of Hobbes in the 1600s came up with this philosophical thought. He says, human nature is bad, and then because of the influence of civilization upon bad human nature, they become good. In other words, he's bad in the beginning, but as he gets around civilization, he becomes civilized and he becomes good. Now, how many of y'all believe that's true? No. Because the more influence an individual has from civilization, the worse off often they get. Another man after him said, well, that can't be right, by the name of Rousseau, and his philosophy kind of was shaped around this mindset. Human nature was ultimately good, and civilization was bad, and thus man is good, civilization turns him into a beast. That was his statement. The problem with his statement is, he begins by saying man is ultimately good. And from that philosophy, we see it present today. If I instruct them enough or train them enough or teach them enough, they will turn out good. Because ultimately, inside, we're all good. Now, how many of y'all ever watched a Disney movie? Say amen. The philosophy behind most Disney movies, and we're not going to burn all the Disney movies tonight at church or anything, so don't worry. You're going to be able to keep Cinderella, okay? Don, we're not going to get rid of Cinderella. Just hang on. But the reason I say that is because I want you to realize that there is a philosophy around us that is so prevalent that it is everywhere, and it ultimately begins with the thought that humans are ultimately good. We just got to teach them things, and they'll be all right. And according to God's word, that is incorrect. If you got all that, say, I got it. That's a lot, I know. But that's the philosophy that we have to understand before we can approach parenting. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 6, where we're supposed to be. We learn that God is saying to children there that they are to honor and obey their parents. There's consequences that come along with not honoring and obeying them. And if you do it, there's blessing that comes. There's a quality of life and a quantity of life that you will enjoy. And thus, the child discovers a lifestyle here, and that is a lifestyle of blessing and of the fulfillment of God's promise as we honor and obey our children. That's wonderful and great. And by the way, that verse should be at the heart of every parent when I'm dealing with my kids. My goal is for them to realize that that's true and for them to embrace that and ultimately for them to grow up that way and accept that as truth at some point in time in their lives. How many of y'all understand that there's a vast difference between 2-year-old toddler and 22-year-old young man? Raise your hand if you realize there's a difference. Here's the main difference as far as what we're talking about. 2-year-old toddler, I make Junior do what I said. 22-year-old young man, I pray to God that he will take what I've taught him and he will do what God said. Do you see the difference? There's a vast difference. And as a parent, my responsibility is to try by the grace of God, with all the help of God that I can find, to get that 2-year-old toddler to come to the place at 22 that he is going to, instead of rejecting, he's going to embrace what I have taught him through his life. Now, how in the world does a parent do that? That's the goal. That's what we're working for. That is success as a parent. Success as a parent is not that your kid becomes a pro athlete or that your kid becomes president or that your kid becomes rich or whatever, or has a big house, or most certainly not that your child builds a house right next door to you and lives right by you. That is not the definition of success according to God as a parent. The definition of success according to God as a parent is that you took 2-year-old Junior and you made him do what you said, so that as that time and all these changes take place in the life stages that the child goes through, when he gets to be 22-year-old Junior, he is going to take all of those things you taught him from the Word of God and from your example, and he's going to put them into practice in his life. That's success. That's success. That's what your goal should be as a parent. If you're a parent with kids in your house right now, say amen. I'm talking to you. And if you're a grandparent, then you need to grab all of this you can, because there's somebody you probably need to share these things with. And if you're not married yet and you have no kids, you better listen, because it's coming your way. We have to discover then the responsibility of the parents in relation to this command, and that is they are to put their child in the position of obeying this and then ultimately instruct their child of the necessity of following what God has said. So kids are not going to just naturally obey what is commanded to them here. Secondly, different personalities have different ways of rebellion, but ultimately they still are going to naturally disobey and dishonor. I found that to be true because we have four kids, and I thought after we had Timothy that, you know, once Timothy got through the 1 year and the 2 year stage, you know, and you go through all those crazy things with diapers and then you go through the no. How many of y'all understand what I mean when I say that? I don't even have to explain it anymore. No. You already know. You go through all that. Then, however that child responds to those things, I assumed as a parent that everybody else is going to do just like that. They're going to be the same. Well, then come Eden. Then came Eden. Boy, I was wrong. Eden's completely different. And it's like, well, since they're opposites, then me and Stephanie have got them both figured out now, so we're set. Then we had Hannah. I was wrong. And then came Lily, and she proved that every philosophy about that I had in the beginning was all wrong. She defeated all of them. But here's what I've discovered. There are different personalities in children. Some are going to be those who try to please parents, and they're going to try their best to do the right thing because you told them to. And then you're going to have some that are stubborn and rebellious, and they're going to try their best not to do what you told them to. But regardless to which one you're dealing with, they all still are going to have their own little way of dishonoring and disobeying their parents. How do I know that? Because they're a sinner. You're going to see it. Here's a statement you need to grab a hold of and stick in your mind. We sin because we're sinners, not we're sinners because we sin. You need to get that in your mind. Because the world's philosophy tries to change that. And so you become a sinner when you sin. But the truth is, you sin because you're a sinner. That's important. That's very important. Despite differences of personalities, all kids are still going to test this area in life. And the parent's responsibility is to deal with that accordingly so that in the end, they bring a child forth into this world and put a child out into this world at some point in time that's going to follow exactly what God has said. So, different personalities go into different ways, but ultimately they're still sinners. Number three, your calling as a parent is to bring your child to the place of submission to what he is taught in this verse of Scripture, and ultimately to the place of submission to God. Here's how this works, and this is why this is so important. I didn't even fully realize this when I was a new parent, when I had just a little Timothy, and I remember, man, we went to Grandma and Grandpa's shortly. He was really young, and I remember that little rascal, he had just started to crawl, and I'd be dog if he was not determined to climb their staircase. He was determined to. And I mean, he's barely just getting to crawl, you know? I mean, he's just getting around. He wanted to climb that staircase because I'm sure he had decided there was like a rainbow or something at the top. You know, when he got there, he would get all kind of candy or something. I don't know. But he was going to climb it. And do you know that I had the battle of all battles with my first child over a staircase at Grandma and Grandpa's house? I did. And I didn't even realize at the time how important that battle was. I see it very clearly now. As a parent, I have to bring that child, when they're young, to the place where they will obey my voice. So important. Now, our world don't say that. If you go talk to Dr. So-and-so and ask them what they think about it, they'll tell you not to tell your children no. They'll say, don't do that. You'll hurt their self-esteem. And one day they won't get picked to play basketball, and they'll commit suicide. And I don't mean to belittle that and make fun of that, but that's what their mindset is. But I say to you as your pastor, upon the authority of what I believe God's word teaches us, you have to win that battle. Because it begins by obeying daddy's voice or mommy's voice. It turns into, will I obey God's voice? Are you with me? It's huge. It's not an insignificant thing, and I just decide how I want to deal with that, and you can do it your way, and I'll do it mine. It's way more than that, because if they won't hear daddy's voice, one day they most certainly will not listen to God's voice. And the parent has the responsibility of teaching their child that truth. Why did God write Ephesians 6? Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with thee, and you may live long upon the earth. Why did he write that? Is it because when they're born, you know, you can just go to the crib and say, okay, Junior, listen to this, son, and then he just take it and run with it? No. Why is that there? It's because God is saying, this is what they are to do. This is what you're to be working on as a parent. This is the goal. But listen, parents, it's your responsibility to make sure that Junior comes to the place where he understands this at some point in time. But to get him there first, you have to shape and form him into an individual that will listen and obey, that will honor his or her parents. And I'm going to tell you, parents, there's not like a three-step program and it's easy and you just do this one time and it's all over. This is a daily battle that you will have to fight many times for years. But it's your responsibility. And man, when we were thinking about having that baby, you were thinking, oh, she's going to be so cute. And I'm going to get her some of those dresses and some of those little bows in her hair and she'll be so cute. And you didn't even realize that you were entering into a war zone. But you did. And it's your responsibility. Parents have to engage. They have to engage in ensuring that their children come to the place where they will accept this. Now, I'm out of time and I'm going to hurry. Because kids won't naturally do what these verses say. For one thing, they don't even know in the beginning what they say. Your calling as a parent to bring that child to a place of submission to these truths of Scripture. And ultimately, it'll become an avenue by which they can come into submission to God. And this is done in different stages. Catch these quickly. First of all, obeying my voice. With a young child, that's the goal. That kid's not going to understand the doctrines of Scripture and where Christ took his place on the cross and all of that. A little bitty kid's not going to even know what that means. But they can learn to obey my voice. Parents, listen to me. If you have little kids and you cannot tell them with your voice what to do, you have a problem. It's called a sin problem because you're dealing with a sinner. I'm not belittling any parent in here because I'm going to tell you, in the McCride household straight across the street over here, there's often times where daddy or mommy says something and it don't happen and we have to deal with that. So by all means, don't think that I'm saying your child's weird or that you're weird. I'm just telling you, it's my responsibility as a parent. It's Stephanie McCride's responsibility as a parent. It's all of our responsibilities as parents to be working towards the goal of having that child respond to my voice and doing what I said. Why? God said, children, obey your parents. If you got that, say, I got it. Secondly, not only obeying my voice, but then it turns into number two, respecting your parent. See, when Junior's really little, he really don't even understand what respect means, and you probably would have a hard time conveying that to him. But when he gets a little older, he knows what it means. He knows what it means if he rolls his eyes at his mama. He knows what it means if he stomps his feet and leaves the kitchen and goes into the bedroom stomping all the way through the house. He knows what that means. He has just disrespected his parent. So first, I'm just getting him to listen to what I said. Obey me. Now we're getting into a whole other realm. I'm teaching this child respect. Why? Because God said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor or respect your father and your mother. That's number two. And I'm hurrying through these, and I know I need to spend more time, but I have to go. Number three, it comes into the realm now of understanding consequences. We have kids at home right now that we're dealing with this right now. That's where we are with our two oldest for sure. Not only, listen to me, boy, not only respect your mom when she speaks to you, but now it's a whole nother level. We're helping them understand the consequences of doing what we said versus not doing what we said. Doing what God says, and that's where we're pointing them to, versus not doing what God says. And then number four, it's going to become, and some of you may be going into this stage right now with your children, choosing to honor God in your life, That is the summation of everything that we've been doing back here. All of them come to the place where now that child chooses to honor God in his or her life. That's the goal. That's what we want to do. So how do you do that? First, parents, you pray for them. You pray for your kids. You need to pray for your kids every day. Number two, you discipline your children. You cannot raise a child the way God says without discipline. You cannot raise a child the way God says without discipline. You cannot raise a child the way God says without discipline. Oh, but how could you spank your child? Don't you love them? Aren't they so cute? Absolutely. But God said, if you don't discipline them, then you don't love them. You have to discipline your child. Prayer, discipline. Number three, when they get older, instruction. You teach them. You help them see the consequences other people are experiencing in their lives. And then number four, and this is equally important to the other three, you give them an example to follow. You give them an example to follow. As a parent, my responsibility is first to get a hold of what God said. As a Christian parent, this is what God said. This is the goal. This is the place where I want to get to with my children. And then I go back here where I'm at. Wherever you are, you may still have a toddler. You may have one that's just starting to crawl. And by the way, that's the best time to start. They just started crawling. They're going for the butcher knife. That's a good time to start. No. Oh, but what I was going to do was I was going to put all the butcher knives on the roof and then they won't be able to get to them. Do I need him to say anything about that? Okay, I'll just move on. No, that might be where you are. You may be in a stage right now where you've got kids that, you know, in the age group from like 6 to 10 years old, and they now are in a whole different part of life than they were when they were to no-no stage. And they can ask questions, they can have attitudes, they can disrespect, and that might be where you are. But here's the reality. Wherever you are, you need to begin to deal with your child the way God tells us we're supposed to. Start now. Because it's very likely the response your child has to you will also be the response your child will have to God one day. It's very likely. Very likely. So as a parent, I encourage you this morning. I don't say all these things to make you feel bad. I promise you that's not my goal. I don't say these things to necessarily demean other people's ideas about how to raise children. They can have their ideas. Mine are coming from here. I don't know where they got theirs from. I say these things to encourage you because I care about children. And I know what happens when you do not do this the right way. The McCright family have not gotten it all figured out. If you've been around our kids very long, you know that's true. My son stayed at Brad and Amy's house last night, and I have no earthly idea what he did, but I'm sure he probably did something that embarrassed the family at some point in time. They just haven't told me yet. He's a kid, and he's a sinner. We don't have it all figured out, and by all means, our kids are not the perfect example of what a Christian family's kids are supposed to be. They are not. But I'll tell you this, we have committed to doing it to the best of our ability the way God said. Do we fail sometimes? Yes, we do. Do we have to go to Timothy or Eden or Hannah or Lily sometimes and say, I'm sorry, Daddy was very frustrated when he was dealing with you about that, and the way I dealt with that was not the right way. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Do we have to sometimes go to our children and correct them and discipline them because they did not do what was right? Yes. Do I expect them to hear my voice and do what I say? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Do I deal with them when they don't? Absolutely. But I always do it by God's grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Not in a way of attacking and hurting them, but in a way of helping them understand they've disobeyed. And not only did you disobey Daddy, but when you disobey Daddy, according to what God says, you disobey God. And then here's the ultimate goal, and I'm finished. The ultimate goal is this. You bring your child to the place, when they come to the point where they can understand these concepts, and it's a while, you bring them to the place where finally they realize when I disobey, not only have I dishonored and disobeyed my mom and dad and broken their hearts, but I've disobeyed God. And guess what happens then? It's like a light in their heart comes on and they realize, I sinned. And I sinned against God. And then that's a wonderful moment, because here's what happens as a Christian parent. You get the opportunity to introduce your child to the only hope for any sinner in this universe, Jesus Christ. And all of that work and all of those hours and all of that instruction and all of that discipline and all of those things, in a sense, for the parent, it pays off when that child finally realizes, I'm a sinner. And I need help. And the only help I can get is Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's where we're trying to get them to. And then once they come to that place and they accept Christ, then we continue in this journey. And by God's grace, when they get to the place where they make their own decisions, they won't stick their finger up and figure out what the world says, because that's going to be the wrong answer. They won't just look around and see what everybody else with kids is doing. But they will say, what does God say about this situation? I want to honor Him. That's the goal. That's the goal.